Hello and welcome to the BizNews News Wrap. It's Thursday, the 31st of October. I'm Lucy Ferreira. In today's episode, we'll dive into the perspectives of prominent figures discussing capitalism, government debt, political accountability, and the empowerment of the youth. Here are the headlines. Starting off with global entrepreneur Rob Herzog, who is unapologetic on the merits of capitalism versus socialism. Action SA's Herman Mashaba has lashed out at Pumlani Majozi, and then straight-talking political analyst Majozi responds to Mashaba's disapproval. Lastly, Stanlib chief economist Kevin Lings discusses South Africa's debt crisis following yesterday's mini-budget speech. But before we get started, remember that these clips are teasers from the full interviews. For the complete stories, visit biznews.com or tune into the BizNews Briefing streamed live at 7 a.m. on weekdays with Alec Hogg. You can find the link on our homepage. Right, getting to Herzog, who argues that socialism has failed globally, who highlights the successes of capitalist systems.
100%. After the Second World War and after the Cold War, socialism had clearly failed. Socialism and communism were defunct, evil, destructive systems, and everybody knew it. And capitalism was the only way forward and a huge success. And it was just too clear to everyone. And here we are, you know, decades later, and young people still believe socialism hasn't been tried properly. And it's been leftist, communist and leftist propaganda that has infiltrated our institutions of learning, our universities and our schools, where teachers and professors are saying socialism hasn't been tried properly. And it's ludicrous. You know, no one's actually spent the time, had the opportunity, or in school and university been given both options and shown the facts out in the outside world. And look at the facts are very simple. Cuba and Florida, they're, you know, a couple of hundred miles apart. Cuba had load shedding last week. Cuba's falling apart. Cuba is a socialist country. Florida is booming. East Germany and West Germany. Venezuela. You know, North Korea. I mean, you look at these countries that have adopted socialist policies where the government controls most economic decisions and almost all the property and assets in the country. Failures. If you look at the happiness index of the country where people would most like to have been born, and the top 10, every single one of them is a capitalist country. The countries that have the innovation index, all of them are capitalist. All the facts show clearly capitalism works and socialism doesn't. And yet, people believe socialism hasn't been tried properly. It's devastating and it's terrifying.
And next up, we have Mashaba's emphatic response to Pumlani Majozi's recent criticisms of black leadership and accountability in South Africa.
You are obviously taking great offense at some of the posts he made.
Well, it is honestly embarrassing. It makes me actually angry, Chris, because if this young man being used by evil people who created the mess we're sitting in for centuries, and I'm saying to him, obviously, his analysis and judgment of black politicians and making such a general statement. And I'm saying, are you using the same standards for white politicians? White politicians who have for centuries used brutality, savage, rape, corruption. You know, do we really use such measures? And I think we don't really have to really get there as a society. I think Pumlani must be very, very careful of allowing himself to really be used. He's a young black person, and honestly, we must avoid trying to really destroy him. But unfortunately, if these people who are behind him, they continue with this, they will leave some of us with no option than to hold him before an open court of law. And actually give us evidence of the nonsense he's talking about. But for Pumlani to allow himself to be used in this manner, it's actually irresponsible. It's very dangerous. because millions of black people have got evidence. Yes, absolutely, we can accept the failures of the ANC government the last 30 years. That's why some of us are in politics, to ensure that we correct this. But I think for him, my concern is that him and some few commentators and social media votes are being used. And one of those days, we will honestly get some of the best lawyers to put them in front of the nation to really give us evidence of the nonsense they are promoting of us as black people to really be corrupt, that we don't have values of artwork. You know what? I don't need anyone to tell me of the value of hard work. I can speak for myself. I defy the apartheid government throughout my life, and I defied ANC corruption over the last 30 years. So I think, so it's going to really be up to him. If he continues, I've already briefed the legal team, and they're very angry themselves to say, no, we can't leave this to really continue. Fortunate enough, we have the courts that we can all bring him in front of the court to give us evidence of the nonsense he's spewing.
And in a vociferous reply to Mashaba, Majovedi emphasizes the need for a narrative shift that empowers black youth rather than perpetuating victimhood.
I have been very disappointed by Mr. Mashaba. I am very, very disappointed. I had high regard for him. I had huge respect for Mr. Mashaba. I admired him a lot until recently now, where he is really going on a tangent that I cannot understand. Now, Chris, I need to summarize things for you here on where Mashaba is angry with me, right? I have, over the past few weeks or so, I gave a constructive criticism of his leadership, right? I wouldn't call it a criticism, right? It was more of an advice to say to him, look, Mr. Mashaba, you have held great values of pro-market, pro-liberty, and non-racial values that advocate for a non-racial South Africa. Avoid aligning yourself with these far-left EFF people and other people who are really on the far-left and are very divisive. Now, for him to come back now and assail me for that and attack me and issue all these threats that is going to take me to court. Remember, I'm just a private citizen, by the way. I have no political interests of any sort. And he thinks that as a politician who is in charge of a party, a political party that has seats in our parliament, he thinks it's the right idea for him to run after people like us, right? I spoke about why are we, as people of South Africa, black people of South Africa, accounting for more than 80%, how is it that we are not producing leaders who advocate for the basic traditional values of hard work, family, right, a pro-market economy, that kind of conservatism, right? In my observation, I don't see it. Black people, when you look at the unemployment rate, right, the black unemployment rate, it's higher than the national average, right? I'm talking about the recent second quarter statistics of this year, right, where you have unemployment rates of black people about 38%, we have the national unemployment rates of about 34%, right? So poverty, unemployment, that is what, impacting people.
And lastly, Kevin Lings examines the implications of rising national debt, calling for greater private sector involvement.
So the debt level is going to go to over 75% of GDP. Now, I keep reminding people, but I think it's important, in 2009, when Trevor Manuel left as Minister of Finance, our debt level was 23% of GDP. So we've gone from 23 to now 75% of GDP, which happens, right? It happens in a lot of countries. The problem for South Africa is, what did we achieve through that massive increase in debt? What have we got to show? If you look around in society, if you look at healthcare, if you look at the roads, if you look at infrastructure, what have you got to show for that massive deterioration in your fiscal balances? And the answer is very, very little. You've got a huge labor force, which the minister, I thought he did a very good job in highlighting just how many people the government employs. And if people have got time, I would go look at some of that data that the minister has provided. We employ a lot of people relative to many, many other countries, including developed economies. And so we're spending a lot of money on labor. We're spending a lot of money on the debt level itself in terms of the interest cost. And so there's very little to do anything else. If you can draw in the private sector more and more, and the private sector, I must say, is very willing. I've been in a lot of discussions with pension funds, with various pools of investment funds. The private sector is more than willing to get involved. But you've got to free up the system more fully to get that private sector involved.
I guess the big issue for investors, and StanLib is an investment company, so you, the guy who gives the portfolio managers the steers of what's happening, is this going to be another Ramaphosa blip for South Africa's equities, or is the government of national unity blip that we've had so far going to be sustainable?
Well, I've chatted to CEOs recently. They all express a significant improvement in confidence. But what they don't say is, when I say, okay, so are you going to be investing? Are you going to be expanding? You've got a decent balance sheet. You could take on a bit more debt if you wanted to. Are you about to expand, build capacity, employ more people? And they all say, every one of them, no, we're not at that point yet. And that's the missing ingredient. And you've got to translate the confidence into action.
And that brings us to the end of today's news wrap. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on Monday.